This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
ESPN is signing a 7-year deal with the NHL as part of the league's new U.S. media rights package.
This really is a paradigm-shifting deal that only the Walt Disney Company can do. And as we're already seeing on social, this deal is going to make a lot of people happy, including a lot of ESPN employees who are incredibly passionate about the NHL and are very excited to dig in.
I think it's great to get back into the fold. We've done a great job with it before. We did a great job with the World Cup of Hockey in 2016. This is good for the sport, and it's certainly good for people to watch and listen to ESPN.
This is a win-win-win. A win for ESPN and the Walt Disney Company, a win for the NHL, and most important, a win for fans.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, the old ESPN hockey theme is back. Everything old is new again, and the NHL is back with ESPN. And we're fortunate today to be able to get the commissioner of the NHL, who has always been great with us, Gary Bettman, on the show. Gary, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me, and it's nice to be back in the ESPN family.
All right, how important is this for your league and you know, moving forward, the future? What can this relationship do for both sides, Gary?
Well, that's a very broad question, but I'll try not to take up the entire half hour with the answer. First of all, it gives ESPN a focus and a prototype as to how to deal with the evolving landscape in sports media. There's a linear package to this. All the games that ESPN, ABC has in the Stanley Cup Final, for example, will be on ABC. But there's also a streaming component with ESPN Plus and Hulu. And so we're going to reach more people in more ways, which is great news for our fans. What's also important about this from our standpoint is that while ESPN has covered us over the 15 years that we or so we've been apart, the fact is we didn't get the same type of coverage that the other three major sports who ESPN has rights to got, and now we're going to get that type of coverage as well. So in terms of the promotion of our game and reaching more sports fans and reaching hockey fans in more ways, this is just an incredible opportunity for all of us.
And Gary, the last time you were on ESPN was just before the lockout when the entire season was canceled. Just can you put in the words how much better a place this league is than it was the last time you were on ESPN?
Night and day. We don't have to go into the story as to how we wound up leaving. They can read about it in the book about ESPN. But the fact is, and NBC has done a great job working with us to help grow the game as well. I think ESPN can take us up yet another level, but in terms of the way the game is being played, the way the game is being broadcast, the growth of our fan base, the emphasis on speed and skill and youth in our game, as good as we were, we're even better now. We have the most extraordinary competitive balance in all of professional sports. Scott Van Pelt last night when he was interviewing said to me he thinks our playoffs, and this was before we were coming back, he always believed that we have the most exciting playoffs in all of sports. And our regular season goes down to the wire because our competitive balance is so good. And while it was unfortunate we had to take a year off, the system we got is what gave us the foundation that we now have.
Talking with Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner here on the Michael K. Show. Now, we probably don't know 98% of the things and the fires that you have to put out that come across your desk. I'm just wondering, in the years that you've been the commissioner, there's been a lot of fires to put out. There have been a lot of important issues. How much of a tightrope was it for you to navigate, and you're still navigating, the COVID-19 situation? How challenging was that? And, I mean, you're flying blind. I don't think there's a blueprint or a playbook for this, Gary. So how tough was this time for you?
Well, to say it was tough is a little bit of a woe's me. What I will say is, and you're right, and at points, all the sports got accused of making it up as we were going along. We understood that we needed to know everything possible about what was going on, get as much data, and our organization had to be as agile, flexible as possible, and be able to turn on a dime and execute whatever the circumstances called for. And to do that, we got incredible support and cooperation from the clubs and the owners and from the players and the Players Association. So the phase one was the return to play over the summer. As part of that, we actually managed to extend the collective bargaining agreement, but we created two bubbles. We went through a play-in round and our playoffs, crowning ultimately the Tampa Bay Lightning as Stanley Cup champion. And we did it over 2 months. And 33,000 tests plus without a positive. What we're finding now, and I think the other sports as well, is when you're not in a bubble, it's actually more challenging. And mid-February, we had one day where we had 59 players under our COVID protocol. And as of yesterday, I think we were down to three or four. These are incredibly difficult times, again, not just for sports, but for everybody. And we have always said health and safety is our primary concern, and we're not going to sacrifice that. We listen to the medical people because we want to protect our players, our other team personnel, and the communities in which we're playing. And to do that and play games, we've had to be very flexible, very agile, and able to execute in a change of direction on literally a moment's notice. You're literally, it's not even living day to day. It's hour to hour in terms of how we have to respond.
How much dialogue, Gary, did you have with the other commissioners during all this?
We were in touch periodically. Our medical people were talking regularly, frequently more than once a week. The conversations we had periodically were a little more substantive, but I think some of it was checking in to make sure we all weren't losing our minds, because this was difficult for everybody. You know, we in the NBA were in the middle of a pause. Baseball was trying to start up. Football had the ability to sit back and watch it all and take best practices. But everybody, I think, in their own way, with their own organization, did a good job focusing on the right things.
Now, when they're obviously lives are being lost, that's the most important thing. So we realize that when I ask you this question, going through what you went through with the bubbles, the fact that a lot of the games are being played without fans in the stands, although that's happening more and more now that things are opening up. How much money has your sport lost since this time?
Listen, you hit it. You hit it right in saying, and I said it earlier on, whatever challenges we're going through pale in comparison to what average people are doing on a daily basis, and the death toll is just tragic. In the context of what we're losing, it's well over $1 billion because most of our clubs still have people employed. About half directly and indirectly of our revenues come from people coming to our games. We don't talk about that. You asked, I'll answer the question. But our owners, who are the ones writing the checks, made the decision that it was important for the game. It was important for the fans. It was important for everybody who's associated with the game to do what we had to do to play the games to the extent we could. Again, not compromising health and safety and not doing anything that contravenes whatever government authorities, both federally and on a local level, wouldn't let us do.
Commissioner, can I ask you a question unrelated to COVID in the last year? When Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin came to the league, you kind of stumbled into one of those, magic bird moments. Do you feel that those two players have had a major impact on this league? And deeper than that, do you guys think you've gotten the most out of it that you could in terms of eyeballs, et cetera, for two players, two rival players this good coming to the league at one time?
You know, I think it's fair to say that Washington and Pittsburgh don't like each other. They have a pretty heated rivalry. To see these teams led by two outstanding superstars has been a great story and a point of focus for us. But also keep in mind that our game has never been faster, younger, more skillful. You know, most of our scoring leaders are in their mid-20s or younger. We have really skewed younger, and the next generation has emerged as well. So it's great to have Alex, and, you know, he's going for the scoring record, and it's great to have Sid, who's still going as strong as ever. But when you look at Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, I mean, our future has never been brighter.
And also, it's got to be incredible. As much as you can be neutral on all of this, really helps to have Austin Matthews be a kid that grew up in Phoenix, rooting for the Coyotes, now one of the best players in the NHL. To have a great kid score like this and be an American-born player must just be really great for this league.
Well, you know what? The diversity of our league in terms of where the players come from has never been greater, whether it's from the U.S., we're in increasing numbers, or from outside of North America. But Austin Matthews will tell you, I think I have the story right, that he became a hockey fan and got interested in playing because his uncle, when he was 4 years old, took him to a Coyotes game. If we didn't have a team in Arizona, he wouldn't be playing in the NHL. And, you know, we have franchises in more places than ever before. Obviously, we were the first league to go to Las Vegas. People at the time thought we were crazy. And everybody else now is saying, wait a minute, of course, it was obvious to go to Las Vegas. The team in Seattle, which starts next season, is going to be simply phenomenal. I mean, they're not only going to have a great arena, the support that they already have in the community from fans and from the business community has been phenomenal. So we're in more places and have more fans than we ever had before. But that's a testament is something we talked about a few minutes ago. It all starts with the game, and the game has never been faster, more competitive, and more skillful. And every night, every game is like a playoff game because every point in the regular season matters, and every game is really in doubt.
We're talking with Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner here on the Michael Kay Show. Are you worried, Gary, about fairness where Texas is opened up to 100% in New York? You know, their sporting venues are open to 10%, where one owner is going to make more money than the other owners, or you just want fans whenever you could get them?
We're going to get fans wherever we can get them. I think the franchises are going slow. We're not going to obviously trump in terms of having more fans than we're allowed from the local jurisdiction, but we have our own protocols, which in many instances may be more restrictive in terms of what we expect from fans. But again, you know, our view is we want to keep the communities that we play in safe, keep the players safe, and we want our fans back because let's be clear about this. Our players and our game get an incredible energy. You guys all know what it's like to be in one of our buildings. There's nothing like it in sports, and the energy and the excitement is palpable, and the game and the players feed off of that.
Right now you have an all-Canadian division out of necessity because of the travel restrictions between the United States and Canada. Are you hopeful that will be lifted in time for the conference final, and what is the plan if it's not?
Well, we've been in touch with the government at all levels in Canada, particularly the federal government. And the way we're set up, there will be a team from the North Division in the conference finals. And we're very respectful of what it is they're going to allow and not allow. We're not going to second guess. And we're having very quiet conversations. I think we have some credibility because of what we accomplished over the summer with the bubbles in Toronto and Edmonton, A, because we made certain promises, and B, because we fulfilled them, and C, because it was successful. But we're hopeful that we can play a conference final game or games in the home of the Canadian representative. And again, if that team makes it to the Stanley Cup final, in the final as well, And if we can do it, great. And if they put certain conditions on what we can do, we'll do everything to comply with them. And if we can't do it, then we'll have to make alternate arrangements. But we have a long way to go before we have to worry about that. And so, you know, we'll see what the world looks like at that point in time.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, Gary, this is a question the old newspaper guy in me is coming out. I see how all sports are operating with the media. Everything's done via Zoom. Having been a newspaper writer, I know that having writers and media in a clubhouse or a locker room is not a player's favorite thing. Are we ever going to go back to those times, Gary, or is this the new normal where, hey, you have access, it's going to be on Zoom?
First of all, I think you would all agree that hockey players tend to be the most accessible and easiest to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you a little anecdote. 4 or 5 days before we took the pause on March 12th a year ago, I was in Florida for Roberto Luongo's retirement. And it was a handful of days after we and the other leagues had decided we have to keep people other than the players outside of the locker rooms. And the first question I got during an intermission scrum in the press area, about 40 people were all tightly squeezed in. And the first question I got was, you know, tell me that you're going to let us back in the locker room and you're not just using COVID as an excuse to get us out. And I said two things. One, yes, when we get back to normal and it's safe, We have every intention of having the media back covering the game in the locker room the way you used to. And two, what you don't seem to be getting is what COVID's all about. You see the 40 of us tightly packed in here? If any one of us has COVID, the rest of us are going to have it. And I think the realization that these steps that we've all taken and the fact that we're doing business, not just with the media, but all of our business partners on a basis that doesn't let us interact directly in person, that's something that we're all doing because we have to keep everybody safe. Nobody, I assure you, wants to get back to normal and some of the old ways as much as we do.
All right, why are hockey players so much better with the media than the other sports? Have you come up with a theory? Why?
I'm proud of what our guys do, and I think part of it is the fact that maybe we're the consummate team sport, and our guys tend to be like regular guys. I don't know. You tell me. You've been covering the game. You've been in the locker rooms. What sets them apart?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, you know, hockey players have been players for so at such a young age, and they go away, and they're just taught that that's the way to act. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I could spread it to the other sports because it's a lot more difficult in other locker rooms. It really is. It's something the NHL should be proud of.
We are. I'm extraordinarily proud of our players, both on and off the ice. And I can't comment on what other sports do or don't do. I can only focus on what we do, and our players are great.
You know, we talk a lot, Gary, about what's going to change after this pandemic is over. And one of the things that we've noticed, and the fans have noticed too, you know, I'm calling Ranger games off a monitor. Yankees games are going to be called off a monitor by Michael. And we wonder, because of, you know, money and finances, whether this could be something moving forward. Is that something the league thinks about or is concerned about? That we might not have announcers in buildings, that having games called off a monitor might become a normal type of thing?
You know, you're going to have to talk to your bosses at ESPN, and networks are going to have challenges that they're going to have to figure out. I think everybody in every business has learned to operate differently. Some of those lessons may apply. You know, people who work at the league office think that, you know, we shouldn't need to be in the office every day anymore, that there needs to be some element of remote work. And those are the things we think about, and I think everybody does. This is an unusual, difficult year for everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter where you live. And, you know, I think we all want to get back to a semblance of normalcy as quickly as possible. And there may be a new normal. I think, you know, since we're living more in the moment, I'm not even sure I can predict what the new normal is going to look like. But we do all want to get back to a sense of what we formerly used to do and how we used to do it.
Before we let you go, Gary, do you believe, and this is an unfair question because the virus is the thing that makes the decision, but do you think there's a chance that the buildings will be packed and electric for the Stanley Cup final? You think that it could happen that quickly, or are we going to have to wait till next year?
Hope springs eternal. You know, we're gonna learn a lot. You know, in Texas, I'm told the Rangers are gonna open with a full house.
Yep.
If that turns out to be, and I hope it doesn't, a super spreader event, if we're gonna learn a lot from that. If it works out okay, then we're gonna learn a lot from that as well. I think everybody is in the adapting stage, the learning stage. I don't know that anybody has any of the answers that could be carved in stone. So we're going to use the experience that we all have. We're going to use the best data and information we can have. We're going to rely on our medical people and try and make the best decisions possible. In my hope of hopes, are we back in full buildings tomorrow? Sure, but that's not the real world. We're going to have to see. It's going to depend on how COVID is spreading, whether or not there's another wave, how many people get vaccinated, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, COVID-19 is not something any of us can control. All we can do is react the best ways possible.
Well, congratulations on the ESPN deal and what it's worth coming for me and us. I just thought that you guys handled it so beautifully last year with the bubble. It went off without a hitch. It looked great. It was visually pleasing on TV, and it came off as a real hockey game. So congratulations on everything you've done so far, and I hope it continues to work.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me, and look forward to being with you again. It's good to be together.
All right, absolutely. Hey, stay safe.
Thank you. Gary, be safe. Be well.
Thank you. That's Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner. I really do believe they've done a really good job. I mean, these are unprecedented times. I'm not breaking any ground by saying that. There's no handbook for this. There's no blueprint for this. Nobody expected this would ever happen. And I think, you know, he said earlier, you know, they thought we were making it up as we go along. Well, they weren't making it up, but they were pivoting from day to day, hour to hour. Things were changing at breakneck speed. I mean, There was information coming to them that might not have been available a day ago. So I think that, you know, hockey should be proud of the way it's handled. It really, and I think the bubbles work great because I think he said this, Don, and you would know best. I don't think anybody tested positive during the playoffs, right?
No, everything was completely for both the NBA and the NHL, and great job by both those leagues in less than 4 months. You know, when you think about March 11th, and we didn't know what was going on, and those two sports were able to come up with the bubble in Orlando and what the NHL did in Edmonton and Toronto, and for it to go off without a hitch is amazing. It's really unprecedented, and they've got to figure out what to do here with the travel ban between the United States and Canada, because you got that whole Canadian division. Now we have until like probably the middle of June, but they might have to pause for a couple of weeks if they're going to have to quarantine crossing the border. But as you saw, they what are you going to do? They'll make it work, and I believe that they will.
Well, interesting talking to him, and we'll talk to the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, tomorrow. So we're trying to cover all the bases with this, and I think that Silver's done a good job as well. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. Join 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event. That's from Thursday, March 18th through Sunday, March 21st. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands for locations. And to make an appointment, visit 2bylondon.com. There's some changes a-brewing in baseball. Really interesting stuff. We'll throw those at you, see what you think. We've got a big E&N coming up at 6 o'clock. And
Go
we continue It's always 6, sometimes 608. But we continue to take your phone calls. You know the number by now, 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.